Dude, going out, like I said, I just fell in love with LA. It's just a different vibe. I feel like people don't judge you out there. People mind their fucking business out there, unlike here. You fucking sneeze the wrong way here, you're in a debate on Facebook for 4 hours about it.
I don't do that. You cannot find a Facebook debate with me in it. Will not happen.
You cannot find a Facebook debate with me in it either.
The lie detector determines that that's a bullshit lie. There it is, baby. Look. Money in the way for what they got to say. I throw it up, it's falling down, it's definitely in the way. More three niggas, talking big flicks, on the phone off. And she still takes the money in the way for what they got to say. I throw it up, it's falling down, it's definitely in the way.
Now, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast, episode 1. Tim, can you believe we're finally here doing a podcast? Look, let me tell y'all this from jump. We've been trying to do a podcast for over a year now. Wanted to do a murder podcast because Tim was obsessed with it. I was obsessed
still
with the murder.
Obsessed with true crime.
And Tim just didn't come through with the murder podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is bullshitting. I'm Tim Sam, your man. And we are here with our first guest.
Hey, so his as B Hatch, Brand. Oh, I'm sorry, Brandon Hatcher, aka B Hatch. So what we're gonna do? This is the Uncensored Podcast. Basically, just shooting the shit, talking about certain topics, and then we're gonna have a special guest every show. And we were like,
it's gonna be crazy.
I mean, you couldn't kick it off any better way than having my man B Hatch in the building, dude.
Hey, y'all definitely starting out right. I gotta figure that. But I mean, y'all treating y'all's audience right, a newcomer every week. I mean, I'm excited.
I mean, it's going to bring all kinds of shit to the podcast. I think it's going to attract people to the podcast. That's the main point of the podcast. So obviously this is the first podcast, so I'll kind of want to start the podcast off of, I'm going to shoot it over to Tim. Kind of explain, if you remember, because I know you're kind of dumb as shit at times.
Damn.
I mean, when was the first time you met B-Hatch and the first time you met me?
Dang.
Can you remember that? It's been a while. It's been years.
I mean, I would even have to say at the beginning of like high school or
I met B-Hatch.
Had to be.
As Dolphin Boy.
AKA Dolphin. Hey, I gotta plug the YouTube video. I just have a obnoxious laugh that you'll hopefully it will come out in the next couple minutes. But
we're not slaughtering animals. That's him laughing. There it is, baby.
It's already came out, but yeah, I mean, you'll definitely hear more of it coming.
Can you remember off the top of your head?
Yeah. Well, I remember how I knew of Hatch. I knew of Hatch because of our boy Bobby.
Right.
And then I used to give B-Hatch rides home because of Bobby. And then we just became cool. You know what I'm saying?
License squad, you know. I had to catch rides and I could get it. Hey, that yellow.
Also 2 years behind me.
Yeah, dude. We were young.
The good old Thomas Dale High School. The good old Thomas Dale High School.
804, I gotta represent.
I met both of y'all through Joey. I met Tim through Joey and I met B-Hatch through Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, either Bobby or Joey, I mean, when did you not see them together in high school? Like, they were pretty much inseparable after, but I mean, yeah, either Bobby or Joey is the one who connected all us together, especially me.
It's crazy how where everybody is at in their lives. My boy Tim, already a stepdad, boy about to be a dad. When's the due date? When's the due date? You got to let everybody know when's the due date.
September 25th.
And that's I'm going to go ahead and put this to rest. I have yet to hear a thank you from you or Carrie because I am responsible for y'all's when y'all reunited. Let me just say that for when y'all reunited, I was responsible for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
he just wants the credit tonight, man.
I'm taking the credit.
He's not getting a thank you because. Cool game was strong.
I'm still not getting a thank you from him or her. That's fine, though. All I know is in the back of my mind, if it wasn't for me, who knows where you would be right
now. Oh, my God.
Sheesh. I mean, if it wasn't for me, where would you be?
What does that mean? Stupid. All right, so that's kind of what I want to talk to everybody about, too, as well. Dude, the funniest thing is when we meet new people, whether that's out at the bar or obviously we meet a shit ton of people through our boy Forrest. I mean, it's a it's a new person every damn time we go out.
Yeah, which is dope.
What do you think people think when we dog each other and come at each other's neck like this the first time they're around us and hanging out with us?
I would say a little bit of apprehension. They're like, damn, they're going to get on my ass here soon.
Yeah.
Forrest is the number one person about that. He's like, yo, what's up, bitch? Yo, why you late? I'll knock your dumb ass out right here, right now.
And I say it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, hit or miss. Whoever the kind of person, you know, is around. If they've been around, you know, they grew up with brothers or they grew up with a big family. Everybody's joking on, you know, somebody or, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just all depending on the person, like what their environment is, who they, you know, are friends with, and how they became friends and stuff like that.
I'm just saying, all of us clowning on each other the way we do, it always has me thinking, like, at the end of the night, just like, yo, what is that person, like, that person has to be thinking, yo, these motherfuckers are crazy as shit.
I mean,
you know, always dogging and coming at each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's either hands or, you know, or that ass is shutting up, dude, I mean, straight up. But no, it's all out of love, dude. And I wouldn't have it any other way, for real, because, I mean, that's what...
Oh, go ahead, hash that. I'm with it, bro. I'm with it, man.
But I'm serious. I mean, for real, that's us. But, yeah.
No, I agree 100%. Now, Hatch, before we go any further, man, I want to talk about kind of your situation and what,
for sure,
what you definitely been going through. I'm ready for you to lay it out on the line, because there's things that I don't even know. There might be some things that Tim don't know, and obviously a bunch of people out there don't know. So
they want the inside scoop. So Hatch's life.
No, that's cool, man. But kind of just explain, you know, what's been going on. And
yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I'm an open book. No matter who asks, you know, if I know them. Or, you know, I mean, no stranger's going to ask me what I've been up to. But, you know, people have definitely, when I went away for 4 weeks, so I did a 28-day stay, you know, at a, I would say, mental health rehabilitation / you know, disease for, like, your addiction and stuff like that. I won't, like, dive deep into, you know, what I got admitted for and all that. But, I mean, like I said, I'm an open book, and I did a 28-day stay, and that was March the 6th. I got out early April, and I got to tell you, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. As cliche as it sounds, dude, like, it was a experience that I'll never forget. The people that I met there are, you know, the kindest, most humble people that, you know, that you just want to surround yourself with, because, you know, they face the battle of addiction. And when you're in active addiction, man, like, I got to tell you, you know, when people bring up, oh, you know, you got loved ones, you got a family, you got kids. You know, I met people in there in their 30s and 40s, you know, 3-4 DUIs, and they're just wondering, why can't you stop drinking? Why can't, you know, you have a kid, why can't you put down the booze just to, you know, help your kid, entertain your kid, you know, all that. But when you're in active addiction, like, all you care about is yourself. You care about, you know, getting that first drink of the day, the whatever your drug of choice is. So, I mean, like I said, I did a 28-day stay, and when I came out, man, I'm truly humble that I even got the opportunity to voluntarily. You know, I ran into a bunch of people there that were not there voluntarily. straight up, like, apprehended by the court, making, like, either they got to make sure it looks good when they go to court, and, you know, next month, or the judge is like, hey, you're doing a 30-day stay at this treatment facility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have all other sorts of kind of people that, you know, I hate being here, but I poured everything out. You know, I didn't hide anything. I mean, I was truly there to, you know, get my, you know, addiction under wraps and something that I can not control, but just battle with a clear mind and all that, you know, cliche stuff. But yeah,
so since you've been out, how many days are you now free of any type of drugs, alcohol, or how many?
Yeah, for sure. It's been 64 big ones, dog. 64 days.
Hey, yes, sir. My boy. I just want to clarify something. My man was smoking weed. He wasn't doing anything hard. Not knocking it, but I just need everybody to know, like, because it sounds...
For sure, for sure. And it's just the whole, you know, persona, like, you know, weed's just a mental addiction. It's just, you know, it's not anything physical. You're not coming off of, like, with, like, dope sick and shit like that. So, you get that kind of judgment thrown where it's like, dude, you know, weed's legal in Colorado. Weed's legal in, you know, so many states. And I'm a huge advocate for, you know, marijuana for medical and recreational use.
Smoke weed every day.
No, but 100%. It's just the person that I am, it got to an every day of the hour kind of thing. And, you know, that's not just the way I wanted to live. That's not the road that I wanted. And, you know, I had to fall... I had to hit branches, you know, coming down the tree, and whatever, everything happens for a reason in my eyes. So, like I said, I'm truly grateful to even be sitting down talking to y'all because, I mean, like I said, it was just a battle that I struggled with, and I'm still struggling to this day. I'm not a master of, the clean and serene life and all that. Like, it's still a day-to-day process, but... You know, just for today that I pride myself that your boy is clean.
No, so I want to sit here and I want to say, speaking for me and Tim, and I'm sure everybody, man, we're happy that you're on the road to a great recovery. You're doing great.
Hell yeah.
60 plus days. Your daily tweets, I tell you this all the time, but your daily tweets,
yeah,
dude, they're fucking inspirational.
What he's referring to is, you know, they have a thing called Just for Today, and they have a book that has, you know, daily quotes for each individual day, you know, a daily task or like something that you go through with friends, family, you know, work, anything kind of, you know, it gives you, you know, a paragraph and it gives you a message just for today, you know, I'm gonna try to fit, try to be a better person of understanding my shortcomings. Like, you know, my mistakes as a human, and understand, you know, the past is the past, and the only thing that I can fix is, you know, in the future, in the present, that I'm here right now, and I can't control anything that's out of my control. I mean, that was my biggest thing, is I wanted to control anything and everybody. I mean, you know, I never wanted to be that guy that, you know, I see something on Facebook and I'm like, oh, for sure, crap. You know, I got to be that guy that just like, hey, man, like, look at this kind of stats and stuff like that. And it just took too much energy. It affected my mood. It affected everything around me. And that's just not the guy who I want to be. I got love for everybody, and everybody has their views of looking at things. And you can't, at the end of the day, you cannot control what they are going to do. So, I mean, that's just how I view it. And like I said, I mean, I'm just truly humble that, you know, I'm able to recognize this at, you know, at 24 years of age.
So, you know, at 24 years old, I'm going to shoot this over to you. I guess all three of us can answer this. You know, getting older and older. Tim's
getting a new connection on Bumble.
No, okay. Chill out. So, Tim's getting ready to have a kid. We're getting older by the day. Obviously,
it's
crazy how fast it goes. What would you? And obviously, you've had an up and down road, like all of us have had in our own different ways. But you know, 24 years, what do you think the biggest thing that you've learned so far in life?
Tim, you wanna?
Oh yeah, no.
I'm totally prepared
for that question. Yeah,
I'm gonna pass it off to him because that's kind of deep, you know.
For real, definitely.
I mean, basically,
Hatch already said it. Just you can't change everything. You're not in control of everything, so you just got to learn to roll with the punches. I mean, that's
life throws you curveballs.
That's my motto. Just roll with the punches.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be able to control everything, but just do your best to handle the situation
the best you can.
Yeah,
in that time.
People hate like arguing with me or stuff like that because I show like very little emotion. I'm
just, no, that's 100%
Tim. All about the facts. Like, I base things on facts. I mean, I have emotions, but I don't like. I just like show
facts
me the car
facts over feelings, bro.
Show me the car facts.
Hey, yeah.
Because that's how you got to deal with things. I mean, your emotion it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't.
It can fog your vision.
Yeah,
you know your feelings.
For sure, 100%.
I mean. You got to take a great example is, you know, how us as humans are domesticated. And I was talking to you about this at dinner one night. Me and Tim were at dinner, and I was just telling him, like, you know, there's unconditional love and there's conditional love. Now, an easy example is, you know, you're a younger kid and your grandma cooks you a big plate of food, and you can only eat 3/4 of that plate. And she's like, boy, you know, there's starving kids in Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like,
or right down the street, maybe next door.
You know, and you're grateful that you have that. You know, why can't you finish your plate? You know, that kind of, you have to finish your whole meal to seek that affection, to seek that love from your grandma. Like, oh, you know, that's just a minute example of, you know, just... they won't love you as much if you don't finish that plate because you're throwing food away and, you know, there's and stuff. So other than, you know, I'm going to love you just as much as I did yesterday, even if you, you know, you did a horrible thing or whatever. I mean, people make mistakes. We're not perfect. So that's just the whole thing is like that unconditional love. But yeah, I mean.
Bish, what about you?
Yeah, Mr. Host.
Nah. Yeah, nah, Tim's the host too. Don't let him fool you. His little emoji is on that little yellow background too. So I asked. Quick story. I shot Tim these logos for the show, and he picked every single one. He picked. I was like, "Yo, why are you picking that? Is it right. Just because there's black in the logo?" He's like, "You damn right, bro. You damn right." Nah, man. But for me, I mean, how long we got? Because I can go all day.
Shoot.
No, but no, go ahead. What are you going to say? You going to say something smart. Go ahead.
I'm going to keep my comments to myself right now.
No.
Definitely coming for your life.
No, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, that's what we do. And like I said, goes back to our first conversation. People are probably going to be like, yo, are they boys or are they enemies?
I don't think they really like each other.
What's going on?
No, but for me, man, it's just having... So obviously, growing up, when you think about your life, you think about time frames, right? Mm. Like, at least for me, I wanted to be moved out at 18. Mm. I wanted to. These are just rough things. Like, I wanted to be married at 22. I wanted to have kids at 24. I wanted to have a house at 26. Mm.
Yeah, you got a timeline.
So I had that timeline.
But what if you missed that timeline?
Well, this is what I want to tell you about. That shit started to fuck with my head a lot because I wasn't moved out when I was 18. I didn't move out until I was like 21.
Dude, you're a piece of shit, bitch. You didn't move out while you were 18.
So,
dude.
But I'm serious, man. I mean, these were serious thoughts that were going through my head that I was thinking about. It's like, yo, am I considered a successful person? You know, obviously, I'm not even dating anybody, so I'm not married. I don't have kids because I'm not.
Shout out to Bish, hit him on his bumble.
I'm not going to.
You know, that messenger open, you know.
I'm not going to just impregnate anybody. I mean, because that, you know, that's just not me just because I want kids. And of course, I don't have a house yet. I'm still in an apartment. So, even till this day, but, you know, up until last year, I've really worked on just trying to, you know, battle with my inner thoughts of saying, just because I don't have this, you know, doesn't mean I'm a straight failure.
Let me ask you. So you've been struggling with this, you know, before. I'm guessing what you're saying, like before you were 18, like you had these expectations, you know, apartment by your 18, you know, married 22 or whatever. So when you know, you got your place, or when you turned 18, you know, are you still, you're still dealing with that? It sounds like you were dealing with that for a good time.
For sure. And I still am. Like, there's some days I still wake up and I'm like, yo, I'm a single motherfucker with no kids. I'm still in an apartment. Like, right now, honestly, if I had a house, in my mind, if I had a house right now, I feel like I would be happy. Mm. But then again, I know if I had that...
Until that mortgage payment.
Yeah, until that mortgage payment. But then again, let's just say I had that house. I know for a fact I would wake up that morning and be like, damn, I'm still waking up alone with nobody next to me. And then, you know, I could have a wife and be like, well, damn, you know, no kids. It's, you know, it's just a never ending thing that I'm, you know, constantly battling with. And, you know, my job, I don't know if I want to stay there forever. You know, my sports career, I want to be a lot farther than what I am. So, really, you know, just that's been the biggest learning experience for me is just because I don't meet those expectations does not make me a piece of shit like Tim. You know what I mean? No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you, bro.
I totally understand.
I'm messing with you, bro. Nah, for real. I think, you know, on a real, keep it serious, I think all of us are doing good, man.
No, and that's the thing is like, you know, everybody, you have to dumb it down to what makes me happy as a person, what makes me get up in the morning and say, you know, I am perfectly fine where I'm at. You know, I still have that drive, but I am not going to let that outside chatter, you know, oh man, that gossip is, you know, Bish is still single. He's, you know, in his mid-20s, early 20s.
I mean, that don't really bother me to a point. It's just me putting that time frame on something. Like, I don't mind that I'm single. It's just that I'm not meeting that criteria that I set for myself. You know what I mean? So in my mind, being that I didn't reach that criteria, whether it's, you know, marriage or a house or that career sports job, in my mind, I'm just like, yo, damn, for real, am I not doing life right? You know what I mean?
Let me ask you, your persona on why, you know, your expectations that you have, do you think is because, you know, you hop on Facebook and, you know, people are getting engaged, people are buying houses at our ages, and people are, you know, graduating college, and, you know...
I mean, I'm genuinely happy for those people,
but
I mean...
But does that influence your, you know...
I mean, for sure, I mean, when does social media ever help any of us? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, all of y'all in here know I'm on social media all the fucking time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say that plays a factor, but... You know,
social media definitely has its positives, and that's the thing, you know, that I'm still working on. When I came out of, you know, the treatment facility, is like, dude, like, I don't care if I'm not engaged. And, you know, my grandma, during Christmas dinner, she's like, Brandon, now where's your girlfriend, and when are you getting married and having a grandbaby and stuff like that? Like, I love you, grandma, but I'm gonna do it when I, you know, and stuff like that. It's just how,
for sure, and just growing older. I definitely value family time a lot better, a lot more.
I don't care about people's opinion on social media.
No, I don't. No, it's not their opinion.
I really don't care
about their opinion.
Me seeing what they have doesn't make me want what they have.
No,
good.
I got you.
And that's a good trait to, because it's so hard to not, you know, be up in that fog.
No, for sure. And I'm not saying that I'm fully in that fog. What really just brings me down is I'm not meeting the criterias that I set for myself and the timelines I set for myself. So
you got some big expectations, boy. Buying a house.
I mean, you think they're big. And then, of course, when you get to this age, you're like, when you're 18 or before 18 and you set these expectations, you're like, yo, damn, it's a lot harder than I thought. You know, and I think that's when... You know, I feel like I make good money at work. I work my ass off. I mean, all of us work our ass off. So to not have what I want, you know, and not reaching that time frame and criteria, you know, it just creeps in my mind. Like, yo, I know this motherfucker. That's when that social media comes into play. I'm like, yo, I know this motherfucker just sits on his ass all day and he's in a 2-story house. Like, how is that even possible? And I'm over here working my ass off. And but it just, like I said, it just all flows.
Welcome to America.
It just,
I sharpen pencils. My budget for a house is $2.4 million.
Dead ass. But yeah. No, that just all flows back to that criteria thing. So that's my deep spill on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, moving on.
We're gonna get off that deep stuff real quick.
I've actually only had like one real big, I guess, like expectation in life, and I always wanted to have a kid before I was 25. I'm a slightly missed mark by like a month, but we in there, baby.
Man, I'm so happy next weekend.
Man, I can't contain my excitement.
So just next weekend we find out if Tim is having a boy or a girl, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it. It's gonna be a boy.
Team boy?
Team boy all the way.
And I am team. I don't care what gender that thing is.
Just to be healthy. That's so lame.
No, I am just so ecstatic. You know, for Tim and Carrie, just for the fact that. I saw that love in high school. Like, I saw, like, that connection. I'm not even trying.
I didn't really see it that much because, you know, I was tied up in another business. But I reconnected that love.
Yeah.
I'm taking credit for it. I don't care what y'all say.
He don't care.
All I know is
he's holding that
the
one
day
down.
You get married, I better be one of the best men up there. You better have 12 best men if that's what it takes
deep.
To be up there. So
it's gonna be
that's all I care about. But we were talking. It's funny because switching over topics to something a little bit more funny and something that we all discuss as guys, you're talking about my Bumble account. That just had a connection. But everybody in here knows you were the Tinder king, boy.
Oh, it's getting Hatch on me.
Hatch is the Tinder king. But let me ask you this. So this is a hot topic. At least I know multiple homies, and I know our group, we talked about it before, but are you wifing a girl that fucks on the first date? And let me rephrase that. If she fucks on the first date, does that kind of sway you away from pursuing things deeper than that?
Who wants to go first? Who's at bat first?
With me, honestly, I've had a few relations start with fornication on the first night.
You know, a couple beers get flowing, you know, and the drinks flowing.
I don't think it really matters to me.
Not at all?
It's just if that connection's there, then that connection's there.
I'm with Tim on this one. So I'm not up, you know, if it does happen and we do, you know, hit it off and, you know, we go home and I don't even know. Like, it would have to be, just like Tim said, like the energy and the connection there, like after, you know, we wake up that next morning.
What are you talking about, wake up the next morning? Your Uber's here when
I'm just playing. Tim already got their Uber call.
Everybody knows I'm not that kind of guy.
Yes, the Uber. I don't do the whole cuddling. Nah,
Tim's got the Uber ready. She wake up, bed's empty. She's like, oh my God, Tim, where are you?
It's just not a deal breaker for me.
Show me the Carfax.
There are definitely some wifey types that, you know, I've run into that I don't mind if we happen to.
So all right, for me, I'm with y'all. It all depends on the situation, and obviously the connection too. I think that's something that is definitely grown with me over time. If you would have asked me at 21 or 22,
right,
I'm telling you, yeah, probably not. I'm not gonna pursue that if she's fucking.
And because if I do see that kind of, you know, potential, then, you know, it's not just gonna be a one night thing. I'm definitely want to.
So are you on Tinder and Bumble? Tim's not, because he's what's up, Kerry?
Off the market.
Not like what?
Woo! The heat's off of Tim. Yeah.
But are you on Bumble and Tinder for a relationship or just to fuck?
Whoa, don't answer that. That's a trap. It's a trap.
That's
a trap.
Either way I answer this is not going to please everybody.
I'm not answering. I just asked you.
To be honest, it all depends what kind of mood I'm in, you heard? No, but serious though. Like, it just all depends on the girl. Like, you know, if the connection's there and, you know, I feel like we hit it off and, you know, other than the physical attraction, there's kind of, you know, intellectual and emotional connection there, then I'm going to definitely just see where it goes. And I'm always up for, you know, just a good time and, you know, like just getting to know somebody different, like, and seeing where they've came from and what their story is and stuff like that. And some people just don't, like, have that kind of energy and, you know,
I feel that.
You know, they're stuck in the social media, you know, how many likes can I get on a picture and all that. Like, I ain't with the whole social media popularity game and all that. Whatever makes you happy and
I feel that. So, switching over to sports, I'm going to kick this to Tim. Hey. Tim, you got to be honest, bro. You got to be honest. How nervous were you when you found out Kevin Durant was hurt and not playing the rest of the Rockets series?
Update: Warriors are trash.
That's funny.
I mean, no. I mean, the Rockets, excuse me, I misspoke. The Rockets are trash. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so how nervous were you when KD went down?
I was pretty nervous. I mean,
were you
of course,
sweating a little?
We got a whole team full of shooters, so
that, I
it
mean,
is what it is. But
you're not lying.
I was. I'm not going to lie, I was pretty nervous. I was like, damn. But I mean, I don't know. I think they kind of played better.
So without KD, they play like they used to play. They play a lot faster because Steph and Clay are running the entire time.
Yeah.
Which wears out James Harden, which James Harden doesn't like to play defense to begin with. But
they play with the fundamentals.
I got to say, you got to put respect on Clay's name.
Clay and Steph.
I mean,
let me tell you this. To score 0 points in the first half like Steph did,
fast.
And to come out and score 33, you got to be... Your mentality has to be a straight dog to do that.
Yeah.
A straight dog.
And I still have respect for Harden. I don't respect, you know, I saw an interview with Kobe Bryant, and he was like, Their play style that the Rockets play is not going to win a championship. He predicted it before the season started, or the middle of the season. I saw an interview with him and Tracy McGrady and Rachel Nichols, and she was like, so you don't see the, you know, the Rockets winning a championship with the play style. If you're putting up 40 a night, and you know, you're the best player on the team, and the ball's always coming to you, that's so easy to defend. But at the same time, you know, Harden's a pure shooter. And if he gets the right squad around him, I feel like the Rockets will be definitely a team to, you know.
They got to play defense, though, too. I mean, yeah, and that's just not James Harden. I mean, the Rockets coach, Mike D'Antoni, doesn't play defense. This is straight offense the entire
time.
Trying
to outscore us.
So, all I know, it's hard to outscore. Yeah, all I know is congratulations on your win, Tim. Because, I mean
we're going to win the finals. So it's not even the conversation anymore.
Fucking the Warriors.
Until they break up that conglomerate. It's,
which is going to be next year.
It has to be next year.
KD's going to the Knicks.
You're predicting it right now?
Yeah.
What is it? KD's going to May the 11th, 2019.
KD's going to the Knicks. And what I found interesting was today, Kyrie Irving has had talks about joining the Lakers.
Which would reunite him and LeBron.
Which is funny to me because the reason he left Cleveland was because of LeBron. Get away from LeBron because he wanted to carry his own team. And I don't know if y'all remember earlier in the year, he called LeBron earlier in the year and was like, yo, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm sorry for what I said to you. It's, you know, carrying the team is a lot tougher.
That book bag is heavy.
And look, they got eliminated by the Bucks. Obviously, the Bucks are a great team, but Kyrie, the way that he was shooting, I want to say, I don't know the exact stats, but it was somewhere around these, a couple numbers off. He shot the ball 106 times, only scoring 103 points.
That's not good.
Yeah, I saw that stat too. And yeah, like you said, it's a whole nother can of worms that you're opening when you talk about leading a squad, leading a professional basketball team with all other grown men.
And that just makes Kyrie look that much worse because the Celtics last year went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie.
With a game away from the whole thing.
To advance into the championship against the Warriors. So, I mean, it just makes Kyrie look a little iffy. But, Tim, I got to jump back to your team again, the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland?
No.
Raider Nation?
So I just want to ask you, how confident are you feeling this year? And your Raiders. Obviously, a couple years ago, you know, they were looking hot, and then of course Derek Carr unfortunately got injured.
We broke our car. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this before you answer that. How do you feel that y'all did in the draft with the whole? Because I heard that report that who's y'all's coach?
Gruden.
Yeah, Gruden. He didn't trust his scouts that were scouting,
and he did it all by himself.
And he did. He took on the whole weight, and was like, "I don't trust none of y'all."
So him and Mike Mayock, they drafted pretty much everybody from the national championship game. They'd either played for Clemson or Alabama. There was a couple in there. I believe there were not, but most of them were from that championship game. And their number one overall pick was from Richmond, Virginia. Shout out to the 804.
Hey, yes, Mr. Farrell.
He was having a watch party some club in Richmond. I could not tell what that club was though, because obviously, you know, when he got drafted, they showed it on TV. Yeah. Tim's dog is crying because he
wants attention.
Easy. Go ahead and say something about Shammy.
No, bro. What are you going to do, bro? What are you going to do?
He's going to sit Carson. He's going to make sure Carson.
I'm just really excited to see what John Gruden's going to do. He's obviously building his own team, which I think is dope.
For sure.
It's going to be a lot of changes, a lot more consequences for actions and more direction. I think Jack Del Rio was kind of loose with the team, let them do what they wanted.
I definitely agree, for sure. How you feeling about your Redskins, bro? Dwayne Haskins, man. New quarterback in D.C.
Taking number 7. You know, the jersey is finally getting worn again, number 7. And I am all for it. I loved our draft this year. I'm excited than I ever been. Now, I've been salty from last year ever since, you know, we had a whole social media movement. It went viral that the Redskins do not approve of Bruce Allen. And now, you know, what you have to understand about the Redskins is they do not care what the fans think. They just straight up don't care. They did not fire Bruce Allen. Now, we did have a great draft. I got There's no, I got to get, I tip my cap off to the front office and, you know, all of them that are working up there. But I just don't believe with the front office that we have that we are a championship style run organization. We're just, there's just so much mismanagement from the top, and it just trickles down to, you know, Gruden leading the team. I don't see him as a leader at all. But like I said, I'm so excited for, you know, Haskins and our wide receiver that we picked up from Ohio State. We got a lot of great pickups. Shout out Jimmy Moreland from JMU. My boy Reagan Davis was the assistant. Let me make sure I get this right.
Yeah, go ahead. Make sure you get it right.
Assistant director or the assistant for player personnel. I mean, my boy had a position up there, but he knew Jimmy Moreland personally, and I, you know, I think we got a great ball player with him in the late rounds too. I think he went like 6th or 7th round. But I'm just excited, you know, for the competition, and just getting back in the swing of things. Hopefully we just clinch that, that NFC East title, baby. So,
speaking of the NFC title.
What's up?
How you feeling about the Eagles, man?
Nervous for one reason. That's Carson Wentz's health, obviously. If he can stay healthy, I'm not too worried.
Honestly. How do you think Nick Foles is going to do?
I hope no, honestly, for real, I hope if it's not the Eagles, I hope Nick Foles gets a Super Bowl ring. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope he does.
He's an outstanding guy, man.
No, for sure, outstanding guy. We're really going to see, though, if he is an Eagles system type of quarterback or just an overall good quarterback to begin with, because obviously he went to the Rams, didn't play well, but of course that was under Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher made every quarterback look like a damn... You know, like a damn college third string player. So I mean, it just all depends. But for the Eagles, man, I think it's going to be tough with Dallas. I think Dallas is going to be good. I don't know what to think about the Redskins, just because I don't know when Haskins is going to start. Because right. I like Haskins a lot. So I think it's going to be
We have Case Keenum, and yeah. I am not a fan of the Casey boy.
So I think it's going to be between Dallas and the Eagles this year, and then
for sure
next year. I think it's going to be between those three teams.
I hope you're wrong, but
that's a great prediction. I don't have
the uncertainty.
I don't have faith in the Giants quarterback Daniel Jones that they drafted.
I mean,
what the fuck were they thinking, man?
I cannot find the thought process on that one, but hey, you know, I'm not an expert in draft.
Apparently neither are they.
It was definitely the reaction from the New York Giants fans told it all in the relationship that, you know, the Mannings have with Jones that I heard in previous with at UNC but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, since he's playing in our conference, I really hope that he's not going to be flourish in the Giants offense, and I hope he gets traded and he excels somewhere else, not in the NFC East. But you know, I'm excited just for the competition and,
hater.
You know, I gotta always look out for my skins.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, bro. Now, I know there was some topics that you wanted to talk about, bro. So, what kind of where you want to go? What's something?
Yeah, for sure. Like
just,
I said,
just do one. Pick one of your best one.
So I would say just a conversation of the form of currency, cryptocurrency, what that's looking like in, you know, the next 5 to 10 years, because. Let's just say Bitcoin. Okay, so you know, when Bitcoin went viral because it went up to, you know, skyrocketed into prices that it was so expensive. My dad invested, you know, $100 into Bitcoin probably like 5-7 years ago, and he checked his account when Bitcoin was booming, and he made like $2,500 off of, you know, he was able to sell the Bitcoin, but it's tricky. So I want to get y'all's opinion on, you know, are banks going to be the, you know, the leading, you know, form of currency, you know, the traditional banks, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, all that. Do you think that will still be over, you know, a much bigger thing than cryptocurrency as it is right now?
Absolutely.
I think so. Absolutely. I agree. I mean, I agree with Tim. I think it's still going to be that way. I don't see any change, any major change coming that would really affect the way that it is now. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Bitcoin kind of sketchy, kind of suspect.
And that's I mean, that's not a bad thing, or that's not a uncommon way of looking at Bitcoin. It's like that's sketch. I don't even know the first thing about Bitcoin. It's not run by a centralized banking system, you know. And the one thing that I learned about Bitcoin, there's only 21 million Bitcoins out there. So we can, you know how the US, so the way banks earn their money now is off interest. And off of, you know, ATM fees and transaction fees, late fees, all that. You know, Bitcoin doesn't have any of that. So they take, you know, that centralized banking system out. So when I give you a dollar, Bish, mm-hmm. and I transfer a dollar into your account, all the banks do is subtract a dollar from my account and debit your account a dollar. Now, like I said, they make money off of fees, transaction fees, all that. What Bitcoin does is Bitcoin eliminates all of that. They just verify that you have the substantial Bitcoin in your account, and the transaction is you want one Bitcoin and it gets minus one Bitcoin, and there's no fees. But what my point is, the U.S. can print off as much money as they want. And that's true, you know, and what my philosophy is now, I might be clearly wrong.
Nah, bro, this is you. This is 100%.
But I expect a huge recession. You know how we had the housing crisis back in 2008. If you look at the consumer, I'm gonna pull out some some boring stats. But the consumer debt right now is at an all-time high. What that means is people with student loans, mortgages, car payments, credit cards, all that accumulated. It's in the trillions of dollars. Now, when we had the housing crisis back in 08, you know, the stock market crashed. A lot of people lost a lot of income, a lot of middle class people. If you pull up the stats now on how much value they've lost since 2008 up until now, is nearly like half of their income or half of their assets have been eliminated. And if you look at the top 1% or the top rich, they've actually gotten richer over since 2008 and up until 2019. So I believe wholeheartedly there will be a much bigger recession, because I don't think America learned anything from the 2008 recession. Mm-hmm. I don't think America consumers learned anything, because, you know, all banks got bailed out by the government, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe with this huge recession that will, in the next 2 to 3 years, that will happen, that people will, there will be a lack of trust with big institutionalized banks, that people will start to look at other currencies and other kind of, you know, stuff that is not controlled by that, you know, kind of supply and demand kind of thing. But I mean, that's just my opinion, and
that's a deep opinion. I appreciate it, though.
Hopefully, America gets their shit together, and you know, we're able to, you know, with college free tuition and all that. But like I said,
see who's more educated on that topic, me, Tim, or BH. Nah, I respect that, though, man. That's what's up, man. I definitely respect that. Now, the number one barbershop topic that I feel like we need to discuss, because I would love to get y'all's opinions on this. Okay, honestly, who is the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan? Like, I feel like that's the number one barbershop topic in all barbershops. Who is the GOAT, LeBron or Jordan? Who wants to go first on that? I'll save mine for last. I'll let Hatch go. Hatch.
Okay, I'll tell you. And I'm not no basketball connoisseur. I don't root for an NBA team. But, dude, I saw a video on Twitter. I think it's like a parody account. and my man was playing old videos of, like, Jordan back in the day playing, you know, who he played against. You know, majority of them were white folks. People that looked like they worked at a lawyer's office and came out and shot...
Watch where you're going with this.
no, but seriously, I think the competition and the the intensity, the speed, the game itself has evolved a lot. And I think it's just a general generation aspect on who you prefer. I believe that LeBron is the absolute GOAT, but Jordan in his time was the GOAT as well.
You're dodging the answer, bro.
I'm taking LeBron, Jordan was nothing but a bucket. He was nothing but buckets back in the day. So respect to Jordan, but I just think LeBron is 6'8", 250.
I got you.
Coming down the hole. I mean, the man is just an NFL linebacker with the speed of, you know, the fastest players in the league. So I got to give him respect.
Make this short and sweet. It's Michael Jordan. It's not even really a conversation.
I want to hear this. The game
has evolved a lot, but okay. He played in a much rougher time. It was a much more physical game.
The elbows were being thrown.
There was no such thing as a flop. You could kind of swing on somebody almost and not get a foul called.
He literally swung on somebody too.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Jordan, he's just the GOAT. I mean, he set it up for half of these other people to make it.
I'm probably the biggest LeBron fan.
There's a little bias.
I honestly think LeBron is Bish's dad. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Where the money at? Where the money at then? Where the money at? Then I can give me that house by 26. What's up, Bron? I'm going Jordan. I'm going Jordan. I think.
Hold on. What? Flip the script. I would have not thought. Swear.
I'm definitely going Jordan. I think LeBron is the best player that I've seen play with my own two eyes. At least, you know, by me saying that, I'm talking about live. Jordan's games I had to go back and watch on, you know, YouTube and NBA Classics. But just what Jordan's been able to do over time, you know, the flu game, no excuses. The fact that the defense back then and the game was a lot tougher, like Tim said, you know, throwing elbows, being able to cross check, you know, whoever you're defending. So I just think it was a tougher time, and just Michael as an icon. Just in general. Now, I will tell you this. Something that I don't like about Michael is he's not... Like, where is Michael? You never hear from Mike
at all.
He's
sitting behind his shoes, bro.
He's collecting billions.
I get that and I understand that. And I'm not saying Mike is a bad human being because, you know, for what I know, he's not. But I just...
I know where you're going with this.
I like what LeBron... He is a GOAT on the court, but he's also a GOAT off the court. So I got to give him his credit. I mean, look at the school he opened up. I mean, that school has
done... That has flourished. That
flourished tremendously.
Okay, but show me your Jordan Carfax. How do you know that he has... What if Jordan has his own school? Everybody gets a free pair of J's.
If he was a silent person, Tim
is the black Skip Bayless.
there wasn't social media like talking about when Jordan was playing.
No, you mean like that's the facts. Social injustice or like...
No, social media. So there was no platform for you to just go...
And then, but then again, there was no platform for people to bash Jordan. I mean, because let's be honest, you can make the argument.
Yeah, I mean, if the dude man opened a school, I mean, it's going to be in a newspaper. It's going to be written about. It's going to be talked about.
Maybe he didn't open a school. Maybe he has a dope charity.
Maybe.
Every famous person has a charity for tax reasons
of some type. But no, I'm with you. I mean, look. So
that's not a bad thing, though. If it's a charity, it's for a good purpose, and I'm all for it.
Me and Tim are taking Jordan. And you're thinking, LeBron.
I'm glad I'm the lone wolf on this. No, I'm serious. Because honestly, if I would have asked this question, I would immediately, if we had bets before this question got answered, I would have put my whole life savings on Bish picking LeBron. Like,
okay. So LeBron's got a school, right?
Right.
Have you seen Space Jam? Where is LeBron's breakout?
Classic.
Banger basketball movie.
Yeah.
Wait about another year and a half, Space Jam 2 will be out.
Sheesh. Please, whoever's producing that right now, please stop.
I was kind of upset Space Jam 2 is coming out. I mean, I just think that's one of those iconic movies that you can't touch.
How about if we're going into movies, classic movies, how about The Lion King getting remastered?
I'm so hyped.
The original.
I am so hype about The Lion King.
I heard
bro.
It's the original, like Simba or the the original voiceovers.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. I am because I went to go see Endgame. No spoilers here, But when I went to, they had a preview, and I was just looking at the actors, and I saw a, you know, an article that was saying that they're keeping the lead or the original actor or the voice of Simba. So I mean, I'm ecstatic. Dude, yeah, I grew up on that movie, man.
For sure, that's the best Disney movie ever made.
That's a tough one, but I'm pretty sure I agree with you. That's also coming from a guy whose girlfriend can recite every single word from all the Lion Kings. Like, not missing a sentence.
Is that just the perk of having running a daycare out of your house?
No, that was before she ran a daycare.
Are you sure?
Really?
I promise you that.
Mm. Dang, that's a lot of Lion King.
Dude, it's crazy.
That's a lot of Lion King. All I see now is Peppa the Pig.
Weak.
I don't even know what these kids are watching these days.
Not no Lion King.
I know. We had some good stuff. Now, like I said, that was our time. But I'm going to still rep Lion King till the day I die.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so keep your kids at home, bro.
How do y'all feel about Toy Story 4 coming out?
I mean, honestly, they should have stopped it too. But
yeah, I think Toy Story...
1 and 2 were really good. 3 was okay, but it's just like, I'm with you.
With Buzz Lightyear, I think, yeah, I just got turned off after like Toy Story 3. To be completely honest with you, I was like,
dude. Yeah, so you agree with us. I mean, it's just
not too. Yeah, there's just too much.
I thought 2 was really good. I thought they did a good job with that.
And you can base other movies like that. I mean, I'm with the Fast and Furious.
Dude, I'm pretty sure the next one, there's not even going to be cars in it.
Did y'all ever go see the spinoff of Hobbs and...
The Rock?
Yeah.
No.
Hobbs and Shaw. Did you ever go see that?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. I was just going to see
it. I actually was excited to see that, though, because I love Jason Statham. Yeah. And The Rock, of course.
No, but yeah.
He definitely is an awesome
I mean, well, there actor. Was obviously problems between The Rock and Vin Diesel, supposedly, on set. I mean, that's why I don't think you'll see The Rock.
Did you hear The Rock might be running for Prez?
I've been hearing everybody's running for Prez, man. Look, all right, so we've had a pretty good first show. Obviously, things that we can improve on. But one wrench that I'm throwing in.
Okay.
Hot seat question.
I will not answer this. Go ahead.
No. Everybody gets a turn. Each person asks somebody a question. So let's just say B Hatch is on the hot seat first, which he's going to be.
Being a guest, you know, I got.
Yeah, you got to be. You got to be on that first. Tim asks a question and I ask a question. Obviously, this is 100% uncensored podcast. Answer 100% honestly. There is no plead the fist.
Bish, I'm gonna let you go ahead and go first.
No, I won't.
You introduced. You're starting it off. So I mean, you gotta go with the first question. You heard. You gotta start it off right.
All right. What's your wildest? Well, we talked about this earlier in the show. Tinder. What's your wildest Tinder story?
Your boy got catfished. And I'm
what?
Yeah, dude.
How do we not know about this?
I think you do. It was back in when I was living in Chester townhouses.
Shout out to C Town.
You know, it was to say I got bamboozled. I got, you know,
So no, you gotta start. So what happened?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So, to answer your question, this girl looked thick as a Snicker boy. I'm trying to tell you in all the right places. You know, when she made that drive down to, you know, your boy's place, geez, man, like, she gained probably about, she was hiding the chin, you know.
Is that really catfish, though?
Yeah, so she gained she in the pictures it looks like she was like a good, you know.
But was it her?
So it wasn't official.
It was just old pictures.
Just
old pictures back in the day. I didn't get like it wasn't like, oh, I'm talking to Madison and then Troy shows up like
that's what I thought too. So how'd that go when she first got there?
According to plan.
I mean, you don't have to go into the strict details.
No,
but like,
let's just say your boy didn't have any kind of, shy or anything. I was like, all right, we about to do the damn thing. And then, you know, we about to get you on your way, you know, to Uber. Just to take the words out of Tim's mouth, the Uber is here.
Uber just back to your car because you drove.
Back
to your vehicle.
I ain't even walking you out. I'm going to just be like, you weren't even here.
That's harsh.
I mean, your boy had to, you know, get a couple beers down. But yeah,
I got you. All right, Tim, what you got? What you got for Mr. Hatch?
I'm not going that direction. I'm gonna go with what do you think your biggest accomplishment in your life currently is? I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be bigger ones, but
nice. Mm. Well, it made me feel like shit.
Dang, that's actually a very hard question because, in all honesty, the reason why I went to the place that I went to for 4 weeks is because I didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything in my life, that my life didn't pretty much have any kind of value. You know, I was just pretty much existing, and, you know, I had an awesome job, all that, but the biggest accomplishment in my life that I'm most proud of...
I mean, the way you talk about it, I think it would be going to that program.
I was about to say, I mean, the biggest accomplishment is just graduating from there and just, like, because, you know, I was very hard-headed growing up, in, you know, high school years, teenage years, you know. For my sure. parents would tell me to do one thing, and I would do the complete opposite.
Like,
just
like most teenagers.
And, though. Yeah, exactly. And most people did, but I made sure that they knew about it, and, you know, my game plan was to piss them off and, you know, just be as hard-headed as possible. So, just... My, you know, you get that moment where it just all starts to click. That light switch just goes off and you're like, dude, what have I been doing for, you know, X amount of years when I could have been pursuing this, I could have been passionate about this, and I was just worried about, am I going to get high today and stuff like that.
For sure.
So, you know, I would say he took the words right out of my mouth. That would definitely be my biggest accomplishment.
So, Tim's on the hot seat next, and I'm going to start off.
Did he get hot?
He's on the hot seat, so Tim's sweating a little bit. But
all right, let's
go. Man, honestly, what scares you the most about being a dad?
Fatherhood,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, I like it. Honestly, though, I'm not really scared of anything. I'm just excited. Like, nothing really scares me.
Nothing at all. Like, you know, is my kid gonna grow up and do drugs? Is he gonna?
Not in this house.
No, I mean, just, I mean, is my kid gonna grow up and, I mean, I just think, man, like, I don't know, I don't want to, and I like your mentality, because you don't want to sit here and think negative. I mean, that's just gonna ruin everything, but, like, you know, the world is fucking scary, bro. I mean, kids are killing themselves these days, because they're getting picked on. I'm not trying to throw bad thoughts into
your head.
Right.
You won't, because,
it's just,
I mean,
the reality.
It just, I really think it depends on your environment, and, like, how you're brought up, and, like, I've got a great group of people around me, my family, my friends.
For sure.
And, like, it's all how you teach them to deal with stuff, I believe. Like,
I mean, we'll fuck anybody up that fucks with little Tim.
That's what I'm saying.
You heard it here first.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, no, honestly,
I would love to tell you something,
but dude, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just
that's a good answer, man.
Excited.
That's what's up, man. I'm excited for you. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, my question for good old Timothy Sam. What is your biggest fear for yourself? Like, if you had any fear that you were scared of, you know, and it could be as basic as, like, you know, I hate watching scary movies because it gives me nightmares, or what is something that you're deeply afraid of that, you know, you can't just openly admit to a stranger? They have to, you know,
well,
spend some time.
Well, here goes the future millions of strangers I'm admitting this to.
Yeah, this podcast is about to get millions of views. You heard.
Just because of Tim's answers.
Yes, sir.
Sponsors,
just wait until it's over. We'll talk about sponsorships.
Not refuse, though.
Honestly, not accomplishing all the things that I want to accomplish. Like, staying stagnant. I want to be able to do everything that, like, I think of, like, say I want to buy that house and I want that house. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to have a career that I love, which I love what I'm doing now.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want to be able to do something where I'll be able to be with my family all the time.
Maybe.
And, like, I won't have to work all the time.
That involve maybe opening up your own shop one day?
I'm not necessarily interested in that.
That's surprising, for real.
It's surprising?
To me, I mean, I just think that's something you'd be, you know, obviously you'd get to make your own hours, you know.
Right,
I mean, but then again, I get it. It's still a lot of work. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but just be able to provide.
Tim would actually have to show up on time.
Sheesh. Anyways,
that's facts. That's facts.
Not accomplishing everything that I want to. Watching life go by. That's my biggest fear.
I'm glad you have that fear. I'm actually glad that you have that fear, because a lot of people in this world, you know, I'm glad that I'm surrounded by people that have that fear, because I'm not trying to be, you know, I'd still be your friend. Don't get me wrong.
Lies.
But you know, if you're just complacent on where you're at, and you don't want to grow as a human, and you don't want to, you know, learn other trades or, you know, have other goals, then, you know, why take up space in this world? You know, when I'm
I want to leave an impact, and like, okay, you hear the stories about people who they turn 60 and they're like, damn, I wish I did this, and you can't necessarily do everything that you can say 40 years ago in your life at 60 now, so like, it's kind of too late.
Yeah, that's very true.
So yeah,
it's a great answer. Great.
All right, Vish, your turn for the hot seat.
Oh, Tim's starting. All right.
Your turn for the hot seat. Let's see. I'm not going to talk about that tight ass headband.
I got to rep Refuse Nation, man. Chill.
Looking like a Baker Mayfield.
I'll take that.
OBO. What is your biggest goal right now?
Oh.
Like, yeah.
For sure, to get a house.
Okay.
100% to get a house. I mean, that's the main thing. And as crazy as it may sound, one of the main reasons why is so Carson can have a backyard to run in. I mean, living in that small ass apartment, I mean, it sucks for him. Which I get him out as much as I can.
That's not surprising, because Carson does in fact have his own Instagram. Plug it.
He does. Carson the Golden _. Make sure you go follow that on Instagram.
Make sure you drop a follow.
Make sure you drop a follow.
It's worth it.
I never knew dog Instagrams were a thing until I just saw something on Facebook about it, and I'm like, yeah.
It brightens my day. Let's just say when I hop on Instagram, I follow about 2 or 3. I follow you and your pup.
I appreciate that, bro.
Absolutely. No. I appreciate you posting the content, because I've been a dog. I've been a dog lover. I've been a dog. You know, I've always had you know, a dog around, and oh my gosh, just what I see on Instagram, it makes my day.
I'm talking about some of these Instagram accounts. These dogs have millions of followers, bro. And I'm like, man, and you know, they got sponsors.
They got their own photo shoot. Like,
I'm like, yo,
their own photography,
own sponsors.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, it's just great to see. My hot seat question.
Tim drinking beer out of wine? What kind of glass is that?
Hard Rock.
I'm from the Hard Rock, dog, when I went to New York. Don't worry about me.
Don't judge.
That's fine,
bro. We don't judge around here.
That's fine, bro.
Moving on to my hot seat question for your boy.
Give it to me, bro.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the comb, not the question.
I got a beer comb, you know, beer gang. I got to throw it out. What was the...
Yeah, the
hardest part about your last breakup? We go on.
Oh, sheesh!
Throw on the Drake album, because we about to be Drake.
Take care.
the water pressure, bro. The water pressure. Because I was always at her house, and her water. No, I'm messing with you. No, but dead ass.
Nah, but that's legit.
The water pressure was fucking amazing at her apartment, bro. And going
that's
back to
hard
my
to
house,
leave. That's hard
that
to
shit
leave.
Was. I'm still depressed about it.
He's like, yo, can I take one more shower?
Nah, dead ass. I was still depressed about that to this day.
All right, you're not getting off that easy, though, but yeah. Explain.
I guess for me, just for that, I guess the simple question or the main thing that was the hardest was just, we were friends before we dated. So obviously, you know, when you break up, that friendship just isn't there anymore. So,
yeah.
You know, just not being friends anymore, I think that's...
not just being able to, you know...
Yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, when you're dating somebody, you obviously talk to them every day, and, you know, you're with them all the time. So that part sucks, but, you know, you can get over that. It's just, you know, when you date somebody that you were friends with before, and then obviously you date, and then you break up, that friendship, I don't care what anybody says, is never going to be the same, if at all, there, period. So I think just not having the friendship as a whole there, that shit sucks.
Yeah, I think people can relate to that. I mean, that's not a hard one to relate to because everybody, I believe, has been through that, you know, with a relationship. Just the, you know, the difficulties of things are not going to be the same and they never, you know, they won't be.
Yeah, which is in some situations are fine. Obviously, you know. Your dude's out here cheating on you or whatever. I mean, or girl, or whatever. Fuck them. I mean, you know, obviously you don't want that. Or you don't want to be friends with them after that. But
right.
You know, if it's just kind of a mutual breakup type thing, or it was for the best, that friendship that you had before, even before you started dating, is just not going to be the same. So that part sucks. That was the hardest part for me.
My breakups, like I.
Here comes Savage Tim.
Yeah, no, I pretty much always. Maintained, like, I mean, we don't have the same type of friendship, but like afterwards I have still talked to them before.
I mean,
like, it's not like
I'm not sitting here saying that like there's any ill will between me and her or
y'all, you know, are best friends.
I mean, at the same time, but even before that, I mean, we were friends before that, so we still talked, not every day, but you know, pretty much on the regular. So obviously, that escalates into a relationship,
right.
And then obviously, when the relationship ends, that friendship even before you had, before the relationship, that's just never the same again. And I get where you're coming from, you know, still talk to them. And like I said, I don't talk to my exes, not like that. I still talk to.
Neither do I. I love you, baby.
I still talk to Miranda, obviously out in LA, which I'm living in the wrong spot. There's nothing better. And going, stepping out of your house in December in 70 degree weather.
I mean, I don't know, man. Stepping out and you see snow is kind of dope.
I mean, I guess. But no, I mean, anyways. I mean, so.
Florida people can relate to that as well.
Florida.
Out.
And then hurricanes, obviously. They get hurricanes. Hurricane season. But, I mean, like I said, no ill will between me and her, my last ex. Just that friendship is not the same. And like I said, that's just the suckiest part for me.
Props to anybody that lives in Los Angeles. 17 million people live in that city. That one little city of Los
Angeles.
That shit's
not little, bro.
It's not. When you stick 17 million people,
it gets kind of tight.
So, it is. Los Angeles is very confusing, though. I mean, I guess it's just like anywhere else. But like when me and Shaq went, we stayed in downtown LA, right? 15-20 minutes down the road, you're in Santa Monica. Another 15-20 minutes, you're in Venice Beach. So, I mean, they're all really right close to each other. They're all kind of different environments. You know, it's just hard to explain. But,
yeah.
Dude, going out, like I said, I just fell in love with LA. It's just a different vibe. I feel like people don't judge you out there. People mind their fucking business out there, unlike here. You fucking sneeze the wrong way here, you're in a debate on Facebook for 4 hours about it.
I don't do that. You cannot find a Facebook debate with me in it. Will not happen.
You cannot find a Facebook debate with me in it either. So
the lie detector determines that that's a bullshit lie.
I'm not commenting on this.
Oh my goodness, my man Hatch.
I am going to strive to be a better person each and every day, but I gotta tell you, man, the stuff I see... you know, I just got love for everybody. And
Don't come at Hatch, he will inform you.
Money in the way, for what they got to say. I throw it up, it's falling down, it's definitely in the way. More than three niggas, talking big flicks. On the phone, and she still chase. The money in the way, for what they got to say. I throw it up, it's falling down, it's definitely in the way.